The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And man, yesterday was a whirlwind. You know, we got all kinds of new rules, which we're going to talk about and how that affects the 49ers with the Niners slant. We got a Kyle Shanahan interview. We got a Jed York interview. We got a John Lynch interview. So you go the offseason with no information for a large part, and then you just get this huge, massive dump at the owners' meeting. And then we go kind of back into a hiatus until the draft, which is, man, exactly 1 month away. So it's a fun time because there's still transactions going. This is still technically free agency. And John Lynch even alluded to that. There's still some guys out there. We're going to talk about a lot of those things. We're going to get into that. I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CC people out here. What's up, Aaron? Hey, Charles and Phil. He says, how will coverage strategies change with the new kickoff rule?
I'll say this. Three teams voted against the new kickoff rule, and the 49ers were one of them. You know, I had a good buddy, one of my coaching friends, text me, and he was like, dude, why did the Niners vote against this? And I was like, are you kidding me? They have been the worst kickoff and coverage unit in the NFL for the past 8 years since Shanahan arrived. That's through two separate special teams coordinators. And then they just go and spent the second highest pick on a kicker in the past decade just because of the length of his legs so they could kick touchbacks to kind of negate that. Now, Jake Moody and all of his wonderful content creating whatever that he provides was so inconsistent. And, you know, it was funny because he was kicking it like 15 yards short of the goal line. And people on social media were like, oh, they're doing that on purpose. And I was like, no, they're not. He's just so inconsistent. And then Kyle and everybody came out and said, yeah, 100%. He's just inconsistent. We want him to kick touchbacks. But now they make the new rule, and this, Phil, is my biggest issue why I think the 49ers voted against it. Touchbacks are a killer now because they start at the 30, not the 25. That's an extra 5 yards. So you go spend this pick on a kicker, which, let's just be real, was dumb in the first place. But now one of the reasons why you drafted him was because, you know, our punter, who you drafted higher than almost any punter in the past decade as well, can't handle kickoffs because he didn't have the length of the leg. Now the NFL removes that requirement after you spend a fourth on a punter and a third on a kicker. That's why they voted against it. And so I want to get back to the rest of this question, but I want to say thank you to my man, Corey Robbins. Appreciate you so much, man. Thank you for the super sticker, your generosity. Ah, it's huge, man. Thank you, brother. I really do appreciate you. Thank you. And not only Corey, you know, shout out to my main man, Russ. You know, we do giveaways a lot, and it's been a while since we've done some giveaways because we kind of went to, I used to give away like t-shirts and hats and jerseys. Then we went to giving away lots bigger items, but we need to get back to the nuts and bolts of this. And shout out to my man, Russ. He reached out to me. He was like, man, I got some old Niners cards that I'm not doing anything with. You know, you want to give this stuff away? And I was like, dude, cards are the best thing to give away at events for kids because it helps link them to the past. And so thank you, Russ. I appreciate that. That's going to go into the hands of kids at all of our 49ers Rush road trips that are out there. But before that, let's do some hashtag CC because the hashtag CC is Countdown Crew. And so in the first like 2 minutes of the show, if you get hashtag CC, you get a t-shirt. So my man, Charles Baird, go ahead and email me your size and your address. I'm going to send you out a 49ers Rush t-shirt. I'm going to get you one sent out. And Raphael 562 Niners, email me 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know your address, where you want the t-shirt sent and the size. If you want it for a kiddo, you, your wife, whatever. Just let me know and I'll get those mailed out to you too. And so we need to get back into the whole experience of giveaways. That's important to our culture and our community. So thank you guys for your generosity and just for the support. It means a lot to me that you guys show up and take time to ask thoughtful questions like my man Phil here. So Phil says, how will coverage strategies change with the new kickoff rule? It's going to change dramatically. So the 49ers were the worst at it. And, you know, I'm a very pro-positive guy. And it's funny because whenever I talk to people that have been listening to the show for a long time, I get one of the most common, I don't know if it's a compliment or not. It probably starts off as not a compliment. They think I'm a homer until they listen to the show for a while. They realize I'm just kind of overly positive and that whatever negatives happen, I do call them out, even though I probably don't spend most of my time like some other shows focusing on the negatives. Special teams is a huge negative for me. Since the Kyle Shanahan era, I love Kyle Shanahan. He would be my number one coach that I could have him. And then McVay, those are the two guys. If I could have leading my franchise, like Kyle's up there, like he's number one for me, but doesn't mean he's perfect. If you look at the signings that the 49ers have focused on the last 2 years of free agency, I think that they have brought some very quality players in to help with special teams. Ezekiel Turner, Isaac Yiadom, you know, that's huge. Those guys are huge. Plus the extension to George Odom. Like, that's huge. However, you stuck with Hightower, your college buddy, as your special teams coordinator for 6 years. He was awful. You finally move on past that. Now you got Schneider, who turned in one of the worst special teams years I've ever seen coached, period, to the point where it cost you the Super Bowl, right? Getting the extra turnover, putting a rookie out there over Samuel Womack, you know, whether or not that was his call, whatever, but that was a terrible, dumb decision. And I was screaming it the whole offseason, or sorry, during the whole season. You know, we go through, and you go back and you can watch on the 49ersrush.com and Patreon. Every special team stat from the last 3 years are on there. I broke down every single one of them. I don't know why I do that. I do enjoy it. But I get more mad at that than anything else because it's just so poorly coached. It's so poorly executed. So these signings, the dollars, the roster spots have been attributed to address this situation, Phil. The coaching and execution and education has been devoid. It's been awful through two special teams coordinators now. And it's not like they're not spending time at practice. I've been to all the training camp practices. They spend adequate time on special teams. The education's not there. And the execution is not there. The players don't know what to do, especially the younger pups, which usually kind of make up the majority of your special teams unit. It's poorly coached. It's poorly executed. You're either allowing it to happen or you're coaching it to happen. That's it. That's period. And I know I'm looking at this from a former coach's perspective. Look, if I was the head coach, this is unacceptable. I understand that you fired Steve Wilkes, and whether that was justified or not, that's a separate conversation. Special teams, dog trash. Almost said another word. Dog trash. Has been dog trash. And it cost you the damn Super Bowl. I firmly believe that. You know, the missed kick, that's one thing. But having a rookie out there not understanding to get the hell away from the ball whenever you're like, I'm sorry. So the number one thing that I come away with, the traditional, the old style kickoff, you would want more like safeties, hybrid linebackers, tight ends, running backs, faster guys. Now, with them starting 5 yards apart, I think we want to go more bigger linebacker, bigger tight end. Say, like, you still need your speed guys for sure, but I think you need bigger bodies. And especially on the kickoff return side, now you can use way more linemen, you know, tackles type, tight end type, instead of just those corners and safeties. Still going to use those, but I think it's getting bigger because they don't have to run 50 yards down the field anymore, 60 yards down the field anymore. Now you're running 20 yards down the field. And so some of your athletic tackles, man, I'd put them out there. I'd give it a shot. Ideally, you'd want like 20 big tight ends. You want like 20, you know, 11 Charlie Warners out there blocking, and then your return guys in the back. So you have two returners and nine blockers on kickoff return. It's a different look. It's weird. It's just weird. So we'll see what this looks like. And, you know, if I want to look at this in the positive, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, it can't be worse. It cannot be worse. But at the same time, I'm just like, it's going to be worse. We have not adjusted to anything. We've not adjusted to anything. And we're the most least creative. Kyle Shanahan has zero fake punts in his whole freaking career, right? As a coach. One time we had a fake punt, it was because Mitch just went full Mitch and went on his own and got it, but then there was a penalty, so then we had to re-kick it. So, like, I'm sorry. The creativity for special teams is non-existent. We are the most vanilla, period, because Kyle says, I'm going to be creative on offense. Defense, vanilla. Most vanilla defense in the NFL, right? Like you're calling timeouts in the play in the Super Bowl because we're called a blitz. Then you look at the Chiefs, Spagnuolo, like, zero blitz five times in the fourth quarter. Do you see Andy Reid running out there calling a timeout? And I understand there's a big difference between Spags, the DC of the Chiefs, and Steve Wilkes, but come on, man. It's just different. And so Kyle likes to be innovator, creative, doing all this fun stuff with the offense. Everything else, plain vanilla. That bothers me. I don't like that. Right here, Aaron, he says, going off Phil's question, is it better to have big hit Mitch kickoff than going forward? Yes, it is. Personally, I think it is, because if you kick it out of bounds, the ball goes to the 40. That's always been the case. But if you kick it in the end zone, they start at the 30, which part of me just says, you know what? Screw it. We're still going to just kick it out of the back of the end zone, and we're just going to let them start at the 30 every time. Like, that's how bad it has been. But I think that you have to move forward trying. Maybe you'll be good at it, right? A little hope and optimism. Hey, why not us? Just because we've sucked for eight consecutive years doesn't mean we're going to suck this year, right? There's new rules. New rules, new us. So I think you try it, but yeah, this should be a competition, because now you're focusing on pinning in the corner, but without kicking it out of bounds. And that is not, has not been Jake Moody's advantage at all. Like, he is the most inconsistent with his contact with the ball, whether it's kickoff, whether it's field goals, doesn't matter. Like, just inconsistent. That's who he is. Now, did he own the Super Bowl record for longest field goal ever? Yes, he did. The talent is there. Inconsistency, not so much. What's up, Kenneth? How you doing, man? He says, Chapman, it's been a while. It still hurts, but I'm here. And that's the way it goes, man. Appreciate you guys. Love all the hashtag CCs. You guys are the best. Look at that. Charles, who won a t-shirt. Fantastic. Thanks. Love it. Josh, my man, he says, that extra 5 yards on the touchback is huge. That is, like, I would always tell my teams about hidden yardage. As a defense, starting off at the 30 is a big deal. It really, really is. That's one half of a first down that they don't have to stop. Does that make sense? So, from a fan standpoint, I think it's going to be more exciting, more returns, which I like that. But there's some issues there. Now, let's transition. Shout out to my man, Juan Solis. He got some of these clips up from Lombardi's channel on YouTube, which Lombardi, appreciate just all the access. Let's talk Brandon Ayuk. Ah, John Lynch, shut it down quick.
No, those are, you know, I know.
Pittsburgh radio guys.
I know. I'm sorry to disappoint him. I was just with Mike Tomlin and, you know, at the Michigan Pro Day, and Mike coached me, and so we're very close. And he's like, bro, what's going on? Like, I promise you, we got nothing, and nothing's going on there. We're actively talking with Brandon, trying to figure something out. And, you know, I always talk, we have a good history of working with the guys we want to get done to get something done. And it takes two sides. So can we do that? We'll see. There's a number of different directions, you know, that it could go, but we appreciate the heck out of Brandon and who he is as a player. And we want him to be a part of the Niners. And so we're going to work towards making that a reality.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000. With basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon. And this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props. Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds. Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks. Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So download the app today. Use code 49ers, 49ERS, for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, like, I'll say this. This is going to get ugly. Like, it just is. You know, you had Kyle out there saying, you know, we want something to get done. You had Jed York saying we want to get something done. You have John Lynch saying we want to get something done. And then Ayuk goes to Instagram, which is now the new tool of wide receivers everywhere. And, you know, in emoji speak, basically says bullcrap walks, bullcrap, like money talks. Bullcrap walks. And so, like, this is going to get ugly. It really, really is. Now, the leverage, like, we saw what happened with Debo. It's going to be worse. I really do think it's going to get worse as far as social media, all that stuff. And I hate it, but I understand it. Closed mouths don't get fed. You got to figure that out. I really hope Ayuk is here to stay. And I think that he is. Because, like, look at the players that have been moved. DeForest Buckner, right? Eric Armstead. Was there any talk beforehand about either of those two players? Absolutely not. If you want out, this team will give you the opportunity to get out. That is who they are. And, you know, John Lynch even said, you know, we wanted to do right by Eric. And we talked to him. There was some trade stuff there. It fell apart. And so we did right by him. Ayuk and these guys that are coming out that haven't played through the extension, the 49ers are not going to do right by them. They don't owe them. They really, really don't. And even with DeForest Buckner, they said, look, I should go back and find this clip. They said, you know, they were talking to the agent and they're like, look, we want to make DeForest Buckner a 49er for the rest of his career. What kind of salary are you wanting? And they said, well, it's going to start with a 2 guaranteed per year. So $20 million a year. And John said, you know, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. So if you want to find a trade where you can get that, let us know. And then DeForest Buckner's people went and worked out the trade. That's not happening right now.
And so you have to look at the trends that have been established by this front office with players that it has kept and signed multiple times. Fred Warner, Bosa, you know, Kittle, you can go on and on and on and on. And look at the players that have left, Armstead and Buckner. There's no parallels here between Ayuk and those other players. None. None whatsoever. Ayuk has zero leverage because he's under the fifth-year contract for $14.1 million. And if he wants to hold out, that's $1 million basically, a game a little less. That's on him. He could do that. But if he holds out too much, his contract tolls. And then he'll be in the same situation next year. And then they can franchise him. So the Niners have all of the complete leverage in this situation. Ayuk's got nothing. Now, that I'm not trying to say, like, you know, whatever, like, get Ayuk out of here. I love Ayuk. He's my son's favorite player. And one of my favorite things is whenever I go to the games with my son, shout out Mike, he's like, oh, Ayuk's open every play. And he's right. Josh says, no Ayuk, no Chip. Ooh, look at Dan. Wide receivers don't win Super Bowls. Ooh, that's interesting. Ooh, I like this. Had Ayuk, no Chip. That's what Rob says. That's true. Make him play on his fifth. And I think that's what they're going to do. I really, really do. I think the Niners are just going to let it play out. If somebody comes in and gives you a crazy offer, cool. But I don't think the Niners are actively shopping. I don't take John Lentz on everything he says, you know, integrity, honesty-wise. But I don't think he's going to make up a story about talking to Mike Tomlin and Mike's like, what the hell's going on with this? Like, I'm sorry. Those are two of the best, most integrity, like, guys in the NFL. It'd be different if Sirianni or Belichick or some of these guys that have no integrity whatsoever said some things, right? I don't think that Mike Tomlin and John Lynch fit into that category. I just don't. I don't see that. It's not Sean Payton up there, right? Like, these are people that have a long-standing track record of being open and honest about things and not lying and cheating at all times. But I say not cheating. They just got caught $75,000. That was a negative cheat. they should have told about. But, yeah, still need Ayuk. I'm with you there. Sean says, you know, I'm curious to see if they really don't work out a trade and move up in the draft with being such a deep wide receiver class. You know, this morning before I went live, I've been working nonstop just on my wide receiver rankings. Like, it's a good class. It's a really good class. And, like, I'm down. You know, I've got, let's see here. I'm struggling with a couple guys if I'm going to put them in my first round tier or second round tier. But, like, you could have five wide receivers in the second round easy. Probably have seven without much manipulation at all. Like, there is talent in this class. Third round, there's guys. Fourth round, there's guys. Wide receiver will be drafted, no doubt about it, with Ayuk or without him. But I do think Ayuk's going to be here. And let's go back to, you know, the GM and listen to him explain. This is what a GM wants, is to draft and to develop into a star.
There's nothing better than drafting a guy, developing a guy, watching him flourish, and then rewarding him. That's really what we'd love to do. And so he's a great illustration of that. And, you know, there's been a lot. You guys have watched it transpire. You know, Brandon came in a really good player, but Kyle has a high standard for receivers. We all do. And so it wasn't just like instant. Okay, because they're pushed and demanded so much, he's a great example of what can happen when you mix that ability, talent, drive with real high expectations. And he's become a tremendous player. And, you know, he's earned everything that's going to come his way. And, you know, we're really, really proud of him for that.
And I think it's just, I don't know. Like, if you jump into Kyle Shanahan's, you know, brain bucket, he wants to keep Ayuk. You're going to build this team around Brock Purdy? Why would you give away his number one weapon with the most chemistry? Why? It's developed. It's done. And the salary cap numbers are there. If you want to do a long-term deal, you'd have to do it probably after the draft. You got to wait till June 1st.
because the Eric Armstead money comes back on the books. You don't have to, actually, but that gives you a lot more financial maneuvering to make that contract work. If you are going to go big, there's room for the IU deal. There's plenty of room. And, you know, right here, Josh, you know, I don't think you're going to get trade value for Ayuk. You give me a top 15 pick, now I'll talk. Now I'll talk. Because, again, like, I'm not coming to the discussion before that. And Mark right here, he says, how far would the 49ers have to move up to get an offensive lineman for the next 10 years? And this is why I say top 15 pick. If I trade Ayuk, I'm getting a tackle. An offensive tackle. And then I'm going to draft a wide receiver with the 31 pick. That's what I would do. Because if you look at the wide receivers, there are three studs in this class that are top five talents. Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers. And that's the order I have them in. I understand Malik Nabers ran a 4.3 unofficial today at his pro day. And the hype on him is, you know, he could be better than Marvin Harrison. He's not even in the same tier as Marvin Harrison is for me. But I understand other teams might like him more. His film doesn't say that to me. He's just not a nuanced route runner. And he played predominantly out of the slot. Like, I understand I made that mistake with Justin Jefferson, and so did a lot of other teams. But I'm sorry. But the reason why I say top 15 for old linemen is those three wide receivers, they're going to be gone in the top six, seven picks. You're not getting a top seven pick for Brandon Ayuk because they got to trade for him, then they got to pay him. That makes no sense. So with that 15 pick, I do think you can get an offensive tackle. I've got five. I think that there are five elite offensive tackles. Joe Alt, Fauchanu out of Penn State, Fuaga out of Oregon State, J.C. Latham, and then Fontenu out of Washington. Give me one of those guys. And the Niners can't get there. They can't get there. They'll all be gone by 20. They might be gone before then. And I understand some people are like, oh, that player's a guard. That player's not in Kyle Shanahan's system. Like, no. Colton McKivitz has shorter than 34-inch arms, and he's our current tackle that they extended and whatever else. So, Mark, to answer your question with Joe's answer, with Josh's answer, sorry, like, you got to get into the top 20 if you want to tackle. Now, there are tackles that you can get outside of that, but then they're projections and you're hoping. That's a hope pick. And that's why I don't like it. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. And yeah, Invader Niners, I feel like I'm reading my own comment. I think I found my burner account. He said, Ayuk did take over any game when Debo was out. That's what I've been preaching nonstop, is that when Debo wasn't out there, Ayuk disappeared every single time. Every single time. 0-5 on games where Debo was out and Ayuk took over the game. 0-5. And then right here, yeah, nobody took over when Debo was out. That's fair. Dude, I love nuanced answers. It's so easy to just sit there and spit a narrative. But whenever you can deconstruct your own narrative, that's whatever you're thinking. That's nuance. That is context. That is actual intelligent conversation. It is so easy to just sit here and go, so-and-so's not a top 10 wide receiver. But then you don't talk about the top 10 wide receivers. You don't talk about, like, who he's better than or worse than and why he could be. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, man, I love this chat. Y'all got me pumped up now. I'm ready to go. I'm wearing a hoodie, and I shouldn't be, because now I'm ready to start swinging, man. Y'all got me in fighting mode. Whew. Thomas, I disagree with this 1,000%. He says the quarterback didn't take over either. 100% disagree, Thomas, and I love you, Thomas. You know that. But, no, like, I've gone back through the tape. Brock Purdy was on it. O-line laying turd buckets on the field. Brock Purdy doing whatever he could. Debo Samuel, zero separation on any route he ran all freaking game, except for that one go route. Brock Purdy did miss him there. Brock Purdy was the player, man. Christian McCaffrey had the stats. Brock Purdy was the best player on the freaking offensive side of the ball nonstop. Was he perfect? No. But whenever his teammates let him down, Brock continually gave his players chances. And my biggest issue was he kept throwing the ball to Debo, who had zero separation, and Debo delivered zero times. Ah, man, Purdy was freaking awesome, man. Hey, I'm sorry. And not that I'm like, Brock Purdy is the top two quarterback moving forward in the NFL. I'm not one of those guys. But, man, you look rear view mirror, Brock Purdy was him. Brock Purdy played just as well, if not better, than Patrick Mahomes did that whole freaking game. He left the field three times in the fourth quarter in overtime and had the lead every time. Every time. He left with the lead in the fourth quarter and overtime every time. Defense gave up. Special teams gave up. No, I'm sorry. That one, I'm just like, nope. Nope. Anyway, love you guys. Y'all are awesome. Now, let's get back to some more rules, okay? Because there's a lot of stuff out there, man. The kickoff we talked about, one of the things that I'm most interested about is an adaptation to the IR rules. The NFL kept eight players, right? So that's eight players that can return from IR, PUP, NFI, whatever, at any point during the year. But what they won, one of the changes that they did, and didn't get much attention, this is a Kyle Shanahan rule. Two players can return from IR that are not on your initial 53-man roster. Shanahan's using this, okay? So in the past, whether they were injured or not, if a player was on IR before the initial 53-man roster, they couldn't play the whole year. Cameron Latu, right? Done for the whole year before the season even started. Now, two players, you don't have to do this, you can designate to return at the initial 53-man roster. So Cameron Latu gets put on before, which was not real in a real injury. That was just a Shanahan, you know, matrix move, trying to, you know, do whatever he does, roster manipulation. But hypothetically, now this year, somebody goes on IR, you can determine that they will return from IR and not count against the 53-man right off the bat. And so that's huge. So it does count as one of your eight. In fact, it can count as two. You don't have to do any players, but you can do up to two, and you have to signify or designate them as returners at the start. And whether they come back or not, they count as two of your eight. I think that's huge. And so once we get down to, you know, player cut time, which is worst weekend in sports, that's going to be huge. You can kind of finesse that. And the Niners have been on both sides of this. You go back to 2 years ago, we had too many players come back. We used all our spots. Last year, I think we used like two or three. We had like five spots left. So how the 49ers handle this moving forward is going to be interesting to me. Then on top of that, for good teams like the 49ers, once you get to the postseason, unlimited amount of IR return spots. Unlimited. Everybody can come back. PUP, whatever. Doesn't matter. So I like the finessing of the roster manipulation and all that stuff. And then sticking with the roster, and this one, again, going to affect the 49ers more than most teams. Practice squad players are allowed to be elevated twice to the active roster, right? So you can promote them twice. Think about Chris Conley, Willie Snead, T.Y. McGill, right? You move these guys up. Now, the quarterback can be promoted an unlimited amount of times as the emergency third quarterback. Another adjustment, right? This is the 2022 NFC Championship game against Philly. We ain't got no quarterbacks, Christian McCaffrey back there, right? Now, you know, the 49ers have been keeping three quarterbacks on their 53-man roster just for that purpose. Now you don't have to. Is Kyle just going to say, screw it, we're keeping Josh Dobbs in, we're keeping Brandon Allen? Possibly, but you don't have to anymore. Yeah, I think that this will be another example of the 49ers drafting a quarterback late in the seventh round, sixth, seventh round, or an undrafted free agent to be a practice squad quarterback, and you can elevate them and get a little more finessey with the quarterback position now. You don't have to keep three, Kyle. He's probably still going to keep three, isn't he? And I think he is going to. So I'm going to ask you guys, I want to see this in the chat. Do you think Kyle's still going to keep three quarterbacks on the active roster? Or is he going to do what most NFL teams do now that Brock Purdy's stabilized? We don't have to worry about all that anymore. Keep two and elevate a practice squad guy. So I'm curious to see what y'all say. Kyle's still going to keep three, or he's going to go back down to keeping two. That's one of the one things I want to see.
Yeah, Invader said they'll keep three. Yeah. Man, yeah, it's I think that's probably what's going to happen too. Yeah, I keep going through all this and I'm just like, oh yeah, Josh says he's keeping three. He will keep three. Everybody, oh, William. What's up, William? Appreciate you over on Twitter. He says, keep two. That's what I would do. I'm not sure that's what Kyle will do. And one of, you know, a lot of emails I get keep asking me, hey, will you do a mock draft with what you will do instead of what you think Kyle and John will do? And so my next mock draft I do, I'm going to go off the rails and I'm going to hijack this franchise, which nobody wants. And I'm going to do a full what would John Chapman do if I had unlimited power and control over the 49ers. So that's going to be one of our future episodes, which is going to be fun. The hip drop tackle, you know, banning that, that's gotten the most play on social media for sure. But actually, you know, this is what's crazy. And I understand everybody getting upset, talking about flag football and all that stuff. But this helps the 49ers more than any other team. It helps the 49ers more than any other team. Why? Because we're the yak team, right? We have Debo, we have Kittle, we have McCaffrey, we have Ayuk, we have Jennings. We have all these players that force missed tackles, and that's what those hip drop tackles will be against. And so I get it. And so, like, we look at all this things from a just football NFL fan perspective, but then also a 49er slant. I don't like this. I don't like this rule. However, this makes it harder to tackle all of the guys that are the most hardest to tackle in the NFL. That's a legitimate sentence. There you go. Here for education and grammar, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff, hey, John, love your insight and knowledge about 40 hours football. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that, man. Aaron, taking a long snapper in the fourth round to round out the special teams with Mitch and Moody. Good gosh, Aaron. I love you, bro, but man, you know how to push my buttons. And I coach long snappers. I was a long snapper. I got lots of long snappers into college with college scholarships just for teaching them how to snap. I'm not anti-long snapper. But what's funny is Tabor Pepper, who's one of my favorite players in the 49ers, blocked me on social media, which is crazy to me, which that's his prerogative. I understand. I am very critical of special teams. I've never said anything bad about Tabor, I don't think. I actually like him a lot. And I thought last year was one of his best years. I thought 2022 was bad year. 2023 was good year for him. But anyway, whatever. Now, there's another small change. Teams get an extra challenge during a game if one of their two challenges are correct. Doesn't really apply to the 49ers at all. Kyle Shanahan challenged one play last year. The new tactic is just to call a timeout. Just call a timeout. Give them extra time to look at it. If it changes, it changes. And then probably my least favorite thing is they announced there's going to be two Wednesday Christmas games. I love Christmas games. That's the last time I have to talk to my family. I love my family. Talk time could be a little less during the holidays. Let's just be honest. And so I love that there's going to be more football on. But two Wednesday games is just asinine. It's stupid. Especially after talking all this stuff about player safety and the hip drop tackle and all this stuff. And then you're going to force players to play on a Wednesday. Like, it is very obvious that short weeks are dangerous for players. And then Goodell comes out and says, well, actually, it's not a short week. It's the same as Sunday to Thursday because we're going to force those four teams to play on Saturday the week before. And so if your issue is short weeks, well, guess what? Now you're playing back-to-back short weeks for four teams. It's stupid. It is dumb. Ugh. And then on top of, like, the 49ers played on all three holidays last year. They played on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then they also played on New Year's Eve. Like, can we get a break, man? Like, that, you know how... And so, like, whenever we plan out our trips, like, I have all the cities listed that I want to travel to for the 49ers Rush road trips that we haven't been to, and I want to visit all the stadiums, and I want to, you know, make sure we get together the communities that we haven't been able to get together in. But at the same time, I can't commit, because what if the 49ers do something stupid like this and put us in Buffalo on a Saturday in December, and then, like...
3 days later is Christmas. Like, I can't do that. My family's not going to let me do that. It's just, it's frustrating, man. And yes, you know, I've learned, Mark, road trips cost more on holidays. And what's crazy is, I didn't think this, but I've been wrong. And after three games last year, when the 49ers play on holidays, ticket prices go up. They don't go down. They don't go up. So, yeah, that's, anyway, those are our rule changes. And we're going to stop there with the rule changes. Now, I want to jump over to, man, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about. I want to talk about my edge rankings. I want to talk about some of the John Lynch presser with Kyle Shanahan's stuff on top of it. But before we do, number one way to support the show right here.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Now, I am excited. This Thursday, which is tomorrow at 5:30 p.m., we have our Jerry Rice Hangout Zoom session, which has already been posted on Patreon and on the49ersrush.com. The link's right there. So that's at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to get together, talk Niners, talk draft. It's going to be an absolute blast. And so, and if you want to come check it out, it's free. We got a 7-day free trial on both those sites. The49ersrush.com, you just go down, click on virtual hangouts, click on the top one. You'll see the link there. It's all right there. It's going to be an absolute blast. Now, let's transition to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch being kind of mesh, okay? Because whenever you had Jed York, Kyle Shanahan, and John Lynch talking the same day, basically the same time in three separate locations, I know they're a little bit, you know, what's it called, off schedule. But still, Kyle said, quote, "We really wanted to add some guys with good health history," which is an interesting quote. Health history is the way he put it. And I think that's exactly what they tried to do. You know, you cut Armstead, which hurts because he was the Iron Man in the NFL. I think he had five straight years without missing a game, then back-to-back years with foot stuff. And so they asked him to kind of redo his deal. That's a whole separate issue. But if you look at the guys they brought in, especially on the defensive line, Yetur Gross-Matos, Jordan Elliott, Leonard Floyd, Malik Collins, I want to spend a little bit of time and bracket this conversation with John Lynch and kind of why he thought whatever he did and why they signed these players. So let's start with the number one signing. That's Leonard Floyd. Let's start with John Lynch's comments on him. And then I want to talk a little bit about, again, health history.
Starting with Floyd, Leonard, just an excellent football player who we've admired for a long time. We've competed against him. He's been very consistent. He's just like 10 sacks every year. Love the way he competes. Love him coming out of Georgia. Played against him in Chicago, the Rams, obviously. Watched him in Buffalo. Competes at a real high level. Really physical player. Really good at all facets of the game. And I think just gives us a very consistent guy on the opposite of Bosa that can make people pay when they have to give all the attention to Nick. He's also very durable. He plays a ton, and love the way he chases. He just plays with great effort, you know. And so it's a guy we've admired for a long time. So be able to land him was great.
And so, you know, William, right here, availability is a great quality, right? Durability is the best ability there is. Lots of coaching things, but if we just look at Leonard Floyd, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 consecutive seasons without missing a game. Six. That's ridiculous.
This is somebody that is, that's three teams, six consecutive seasons without missing a game. And I know somebody listening to this like, dang, John, you're going to jinx it. I don't believe in that at all. I wish I was that powerful. I really, really do. And I wish, oh man, no team's ever lost two Super Bowls versus the Chiefs to come back and win it next year. Oh, now I just jinxed us into a Super Bowl win. Like, I don't have that power. And for those of you that think I do, that's awesome. You should try seeing me suggest something for dinner to my wife. 0% chance that is going to happen ever, every single time. It's not. it just doesn't work. That's not how it works. But, yeah, you go out and you get Leonard Floyd, who, man, he's awesome. He's such a good player. I remember whenever he came out of Georgia, and he has lived up to that potential. Now, is he a top 10 edge? No. Is he a top 20 edge? Maybe. I wonder, actually. Let's look at, do I not have the salary cap up? I don't yet. Let me. I want to see where he fits salary-wise. Let's do average salary. I think that's the truest indicator. I know somebody's going to disagree with that, but that's okay. Just edge players, where he fits paid-wise, right? Where is Leonard Floyd? Let's see, man. I mean, he's a little bit down there now. Oh, we're still going. We're still going. There he is. He is the 36th paid edge on a year basis. I think that he's better than that. I really do. But you look at the names that he's over there with: Sam Hubbard, Danico Autry, Josh Sweat, Leonard Floyd, Larry Ogunjobi, Trayvon Walker. Samson Ebicom's right behind him. I'd take Leonard Floyd over Samson. Leonard Floyd's going to be a little bit more of a pass rush guy. Samson's more of a run guy. And so, you know, we could get into those debates, but this is, that's the thing. Value. There's a value signing. You're not paying top of the market money for this dude. You're really, really not. And so that's why, like, I like this deal. And then, you know, if you want to focus on cutting Armstead and what you lost, well, you go and replace, you spend a seventh round pick for Malik.
Malik, obviously that trade once we parted ways with Eric, which we'll talk about later, real tough thing to do. We had a void there. And so to be able to come to that agreement for a seventh round pick, a guy who really fits what we do, and it's not a projection. He just played in our system last year with D'Amico and them and played at a high level. He's a guy I've studied and admired for a long time because Rod Marinelli, who I'm close with, coached him in Dallas and drafted him. And Rod thinks the world of him. Chris obviously has a great voice on anything we do there. And we just like the fit with us, and plays with tremendous effort, quickness, disruptive. And I had a really good year last year. So, excited to land Malik.
And again, talking about ability, health history, I don't know if I'm going to be able to adopt that phrase because I kind of hate it. It grosses me out just saying it, but it makes sense. Health history, like, it's just like, how injured are you, right? Last year, Malik Collins played every game. 2022, he missed two games. 2021, he missed one game. So you're talking about three combined lost games in three seasons. That's above par. It's way better than Armstead did during that time. This is a replacement. Understand, 100% replacement type player. Okay, he is stepping into that Armstead role. Hargrave stayed in his role. Bosa stayed in his role. You got Leonard Floyd's taking over the opposite Bosa spot. You heard John say that. And Malik Collins is replacing Eric Armstead, period. That's all there is to it. Is he on the level of Eric Armstead? No. No, he's not. And he's not being paid to be on that level. Even with the reworked deal, where is Eric Armstead? Boop, 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 boop. All right, let's see. I'm scrolling down through all the names. Malik Collins is getting $11.5 million. That's the adjusted year. And yeah, Armstead got a lot more than that. I think he got like 13, 14. Those numbers haven't come out. So with the deal, so he's not on this list as far as like all the average year and all that stuff. But whatever, it doesn't matter. Malik Collins comes in. Then you get Jordan Elliott. That dude plays nonstop. Yetur Gross-Matos. And probably one of the things that I took away most from this John Lynch press conference, this would be the last clip I probably play of him from today. We'll get to some of the other stuff, but I don't want this to be a complete John Lynch show, was whenever he was talking about Yetur Gross-Matos and how that was the player that most teams were trying to get, which is crazy to me.
Yetur told his agent, I thought he handled it like a house in Los Altos. You know, you kind of priced it low and get the whole league interested, and then everybody, and Yetur was the guy, probably of all of them that we signed, that we had the most people in the league say, man, we were in on him, you know, and a lot of guys after we landed him. And I think Yetur, the interesting thing, he's a long, skilled athlete, and he's a guy, I think we've been at our best when we've had one of those guys, Arden Key, Charles Omenihu, that can play outside and then slide down and go to the inside. It just gives you another layer of versatility to your D-line. And so Yetur, we're really excited about that. And, you know, there's going to be some transition for him. He's played a lot in a two-point stance, and so putting his hand in the ground and rushing. Obviously, he's done that on third down in Carolina, but he's really looking forward to that opportunity.
And again, talking health history, this one's probably the least of the three. He missed 5 games this year, 17. He played every game the year before, missed 3 games the year before, and missed like 5. So, like, this is a player who has missed time. But the contract kind of reflects that. At least that's what I think. So as far as health history, he's kind of on par with what Arik Armstead has done the past few years. That's kind of where he's at for that. So anyway, now let's transition. There's some more stuff I want to dive into with the John Lynch comments about the secondary and lots of other things, but I don't want this to be, I got to talk draft. We're 1 month from the draft, baby. 4 Thursdays from now, it's draft time. And I'm excited, man. So let's transition to the draft. I want to talk, let's jump to my rankings over here. Let's talk edge position. Edge rushers, which we know the 49ers, if there's somebody there when they're picking in the first round, edge is always a possibility. Always a possibility. And again, these are just my rankings. I'll release my draft book and rankings and all my write-ups on everybody just about a week after April. So probably right before the second week of April, I'll try to get that out. We'll see if we can do that. My number one edge is Jared Verse out of Florida State, and I feel like a lot of people have Dallas Turner out of Alabama the highest, but here's the good news. The 49ers are not going to have an opportunity to get any of these guys. My top three edges are Jared Verse and Leiatu Latu. Those are in a tier by themselves. Like, those two are my top tier guys. Dallas Turner, I have in a tier by himself separate from them. I understand why some people would look at Dallas Turner and say, this guy is the number one. His first step's incredible. Ben's no issue. I get all those things. I just think he struggles with stopping the run. And so for me, I look at all these things through a Niners perspective. I truly believe Jared Verse and Latu are better fits for the 49ers than Latu is. I mean, Dallas Turner is. That's just me. I know some people are going to disagree, but here's the good news. Niners are going to have a chance to get any of those. Now, the rest of the players, now the 49ers have a chance. And I already see in the comments, sorry to take a drink of coffee there. Chop, right there. Dumpster fire. Chop is one-dimensional. His tape is underwhelming. Let me get to my write-up, because I do believe that this is a legitimate player that the 49ers could have a chance to draft. Dimeon Chop Robinson. His nickname is Pork Chop. He was 14 pounds when he was born. Yikes for his mom. But I don't know, man. He's 21 years old. He ran a 4.440 at 6'3", 250. Gosh, a 1.54 10-yard split. Like, he is just burst, explosive,
probably the best first step in the draft. So if you've ever liked D Ford, if you've ever liked, you know, Von Miller, like he's that mold of a player, but is he the complete player that I don't think D Ford was ever a complete player, but that's kind of where he is. He does attack tackles head up way too often, but fun watching him use his hands. Bull rush is decent change of pace for him. They would even put him in the A gap. So like, if you're one of those, I think outside's the best place for him, but he was all over the place. Nice violent streak with his hands. Lack of production is a mystery. It doesn't make sense. This dude, how did he only get 3 sacks? But then you look at Penn State. This is what they do with their edge players. And then they go to the Ravens and they get double digit sacks. You know who I'm talking about. Like, and you know, I get this right here. We got a chop in Beal Jr. That's the whole, like, you know, right? The meme, like, Mom, why can't we get a chop Robinson? And Mom's like, Kyle Shanahan's like, man, we got a chop Robinson at home, Beal Jr. I would not allow Beal Jr. to stop me from drafting Chop Robinson at all. I would not. Like, he's awesome, man. His tape is great. His PFF scores are great. And you want somebody to bend off the edge opposite of Bosa, it's great. Like, there's a role for this guy on the 49ers team. Now, would John Chapman draft him at 31 if he's there? I would not. He is my number 4 edge player. This is a terrible edge class. I don't like it at all. I really don't. I think, personally, the player I would be more comfortable drafting, who I have ranked behind Chop Robinson, they're in the same tier, and, man, they might flip for me, is the other Alabama defensive end, Chris Broswell. And I know Johnny Dale's really big on this dude also. 6'3", 255. He ran a 4.6 40. A 1.59 10-yard split, so he's pretty damn quick too. Not as fast as Chop, but nobody is. 22 years old, burst in instincts. He plays like a damn linebacker against the run. I that dude just diagnoses plays with the best of them. You could tell he's a film junkie. And so, yeah, Chop, who wins, all-out burst, speed, bend, right? Broswell, this dude's calm, cool, collected coach on the field. But he's still got some burst. Invader says, Broswell, you know, is being overlooked for sure. Josh says, you know, don't like Chop at 31. He's the second round guy at best, but in a poor draft class with so many teams wanting edge rushers, it's going to push them up. It's the same thing that happens to quarterbacks and tackles. They get pushed up. It's a premium position. It's a number 2 premium position. But yeah, I do like Chris Broswell. I really, really do. And I mean, that's somebody that's got 13 sacks. So production's there. Chop, what do you have? 3 sacks, right? Like, yeah, 3 sacks. Broswell, 13 sacks in the SEC. I really like this dude. Joseph Asai, Will Anderson Jr., those are my athletic player comps. I really like Broswell. And then I'm going to be honest with you. One guy that they're not talking about is Adisa Isaac. He's a complete player out of Penn State. Like, we forget about the number 2, right? You got Dallas Turner on one side, Broswell on the other. Everybody focuses on Turner. You got Chop Robinson on one side. You got Adisa Isaac that rotated with him but played way more snaps, 6'4", 247 at Penn State. And I have him ranked below Chop, but I think he's a better player. Like, he doesn't have the upside. That's the issue. It's he doesn't have the traits. He doesn't have that. But the production's there. 9 sacks. He tripled in the same defense, in the same role. He tripled what Chop did. He just doesn't have that burst. Great hands. Yeah, diagnoses run plays well, run blocks, watches tape, effort consistently. Dropped in coverage a lot, might be a better 3-4 fit. Just a well-rounded, solid player. Wish he had more burst or bend, then he would be a first-rounder. He did have an Achilles injury back in 2021, but that's behind him. He's a fun, clean player. Yaya Diaby is kind of who he reminds me of. But again, I've got him, you know, late second round, not as much a 49ers fit, but a cleaner player. Like, if you draft Chop, you're just drafting that one thing. Burst, first step, that's it. Broswell, complete player. Adisa Isaac might be a little light for us. but better football player, just the traits aren't there. And then you got Darius Robinson, which we know a lot about. Niners met with the Missouri, 6'5", 296. Dude's huge. He's huge. You want to stop the run? Darius Robinson's your boy. He's awesome, man. Huge. 34.5-inch arms. He could be an offensive tackle. 10 5/8-inch hands. Huge hands. Ran a 4.9. 23 years old. Just a big athlete. Plays inside, outside. I mean, captain, organized extra team workouts. Met with 18 teams at the combine. True three-down offensive lineman. Great senior bowl. Slow off the ball. He's not fast. And so, like, where do you put him? And you want to stop the run, you love this guy. Cleveland Farrell, Cam Jordan, those are the type of players that he's built at. But I think that those are all four options that the Niners have to consider. Chop, Broswell, Darius Robinson, Adisa Isaac. What are you going to do with those guys? Because the Niners are taking an edge. Might not be in the first or second round, but those past four guys, those are guys that are going around pick 31 and are possibilities for trade up and trade backs. Personally, I don't want to take an edge in the first round. I don't think that's where the value in this draft is. But, you know, John Lynch, Chris Kucerik, and Kyle Shanahan are all open to these possibilities. You know that's a possibility. So, hopefully we're learning as we go through more and more of these. Some new names, what they do, what they don't do. And if you disagree with me, go watch the tape, man. And if you want to watch the tape, I break down the tape over on the 49ersrush.com. But just type in Chop Robinson verse on YouTube. You can find videos. And you can just watch game tape. Don't watch highlights. My axiom is always this. Watching highlights is like reading somebody's dating profile. You don't get any of the flaws. Watching game tape, that's like interviewing all the exes. You get all the dirt. The good, the bad, the ugly. So spend time before you make adjustments. Highlights are a good thing. They're not a bad thing. But if you just watch highlights on everybody, you're never going to get a true sense of what they look like, what they play, what everything comes to be. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Just real quick reminder, tomorrow we do have our Zoom hangout. That's at 5:30 p.m. And the instructions are up on the49ersrush.com. But yeah, this is a fun show. We got a lot in there. A little bit of draft talk, a little bit of rules, free agent signing. Yeah, we covered our ground this one. I liked it. Till next time, y'all are incredible. Stay strong, faithful.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.